Okay, the topic tonight is overcoming bitterness. Fred came home from a late night at the office. After snarfing down his reheated supper, he went into the bathroom to brush his teeth. The moment he opened the vanity drawer, he noticed that his wife, Wilma, had squashed toothpaste in the middle for the umpteenth time. He flew into a rage, slamming the drawer closed and flailing his arms. He said, "That woman, she's always squeezing the toothpaste tube in the middle. I've asked her 1,000 times to roll it up from the end, but does she listen to me? Never. I might as well talk to the toothpaste tube itself rather than expect her to do something that I've asked her to do. She's the most stubborn, pig-headed woman I've ever met. How would she like it if I ignored her incessant requests? She wouldn't like it at all. I'll teach her a lesson. She hates it whenever I leave the cap of the toothpaste off. And so what I'm going to do tonight, after she goes to bed, I'm going to sneak in here. I'm going to leave the cap off the toothpaste tube. And so that maybe tomorrow morning when she wakes up, some of the toothpaste will harden in the neck of the tube. And then when she goes to brush her teeth in the morning and she tries to squeeze the toothpaste, it will not come out because of that hardened pellet. And maybe if I'm lucky," well, he wasn't Presbyterian, "she'll look into that tube and squeeze it real hard at the same time, and that little pellet will come out and hit her smack between the eyes." Now, let me ask you, is a squashed tube of toothpaste worth expending all of that emotional energy? Hardly. I mean, what kind of energy should be expended on a squashed tube of toothpaste? I mean, at the very most, about all its work is, "Oh, look at that. She squashed the toothpaste in the middle again. Maybe we ought to invest in individual tubes." But when we exert inordinate amounts of energy, by the way, the material comes from that material we're going to cover tonight comes from that booklet by that Priolo guy. Anyway, when we exert inordinate amounts of time and energy over trivial disappointments like this, it's a good indication that we are bitter. So the question we want to ask tonight is, what is bitterness? Bitterness, basically, is the result of not forgiving others. If you're bitter at someone, it means that you haven't truly forgiven that person. To put it another way, bitterness is the result of responding improperly or unbiblically to an offense. And again, here we have a passage of Scripture, 12:15, that likens bitterness to a root. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Now, roots have to be planted, right? So let me ask you, what do you suppose is the seed that, when planted on the soil of one's heart, sprouts into a root of bitterness? Generally speaking, it's a hurt. When someone hurts you, it's as if that person has dropped the seed of bitterness on the soil of your heart. At that point, you can choose to respond in one of two ways. Either you can reach down and pluck up the seed and flick it away, which you do by forgiving, right? Or you can start to cultivate that seed by reviewing the hurt over and over again in your mind. Veronica's best friend, Betty, had been planning a sleepover for all the girls of the youth group. All summer long, the party was the topic of discussion. Everyone was going to be there. 3 days before the sleepover, Veronica found out that some old family friends were coming over to the house for the weekend of the party. And although Betty's party had been scheduled months before, Veronica's father wanted her to, as he put it, drop her silly plans and stay home with their house guests. Veronica knew that all the popular people would be at the sleepover, in addition to all of her friends. Plus, she'd made a commitment to go to the party long before she ever knew about her father's plans. But her father insisted that she stayed home. He just dropped the seed of hurt onto the soil of her heart. Veronica's seed of hurt could easily be transformed into a root of bitterness. So let's trace how that might take place. How does Veronica cultivate her bitter root? You know, rather than forgiving her dad, either going to him and, you know, talking to him about how offended she was over what seems to be at least his inconsideration, or just forgiving him in her heart, she decides to cultivate the root of bitterness. She says to herself, "I can't believe he's doing this to me. I've been planning to go to this sleepover all summer long." Well, at this point, Veronica presses the seed an inch or two into the soil of her heart. And a few minutes later, she says to herself, "He's so selfish. All he thinks about is what he wants." Now she covers the seed, with some more soil. "He's never willing to let me have fun if he thinks his precious plans might be upset." Now she's aerating the soil. "Why did I get stuck with a father like him?" Now she's watering the soil. "He's such a loser." Now she's fertilizing her hurt, and it's starting to sprout. "I can't wait till I can get out of here," she says to herself. "Then nobody will be able to spoil my fun." Now she's weeding her little sprout, and it grows roots that become deeper and thicker and hairier and uglier. And then finally, she says, "He can't do that to me. I'm going to give him a taste of his own medicine. I'm going to embarrass him so badly that he'll wish that he'd sent me to the sleepover in a limousine." At this point, she puts the finishing touches on this greenhouse that she's constructing for her little stinkweed, and now she's charging people admission to come and see it. Basically, Veronica allowed her hurt feelings to paralyze her from taking appropriate action. She replayed her father's offense over and over again in her mind and consequently became embittered against him. Now, over the years, I've observed, of course, and counseled lots of bitter people and have put together a list of some of the common evidences of bitterness. And let's just go through them. First, there's difficulty in resolving conflicts. Trying to resolve a conflict with someone at whom you are bitter, whom you've not forgiven, is like trying to build a skyscraper on a place where there is no foundation. The bitterness will doom the project before it gets off the ground. Acts of vengeance, whether they take the form of a backbiting verbal comment or spiteful remark to the offender's face or some kind of physical altercation, taking one's own vengeance is a sure sign of unforgiveness. And there's withdrawal. We sometimes give our offenders the cold shoulder, right? The silent treatment. You know what the cold shoulder is? Again, it's an instinctive act of revenge. It's like saying to the person, "Look, I've tried to tell you over and over again how much it really bugs me when you do that or don't do that, and you just don't get it. You just don't have a clue. So the only thing I know to do is to maybe give you a little taste of your own medicine and not talk to you for a few days, and then maybe you'll understand how much it bugs me." Now, that may not be, you know, exactly what goes on in the mind of someone who's giving another person the cold shoulder, but that's essentially the sentiment. Then there's outbursts of anger. As we saw with Fred, bitterness tempts us to overreact emotionally. When we're bitter, we don't see each offense as a new offense on a clean slate that is relatively easy to forgive, but rather as one more item on a long list of similar offenses under a common heading. The reason Fred kind of went postal on Wilmer was because as soon as she saw that tube of toothpaste, this computer screen flashed up in her mind. At the top of the computer screen, it said, "Specific things I've asked Wilma to do over the years, and she stubbornly refused to follow my directions on." Pages of this. Now, here is the toothpaste tube, you know, entry number 487. Biting sarcasm, whether it's ironic intonations, snide comments, mean-spirited joking, scornful speech, other forms of sarcasm, these sarcastic comments